This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide high school sports reporter, and joining me is senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis. Todd, we just passed what should have been state track week, the end of the high school spring season and the 2019-2020 athletic calendar. You've been a fixture at these spring championship events like Star Track for a long time. I'd imagine it feels weird to not be there to watch those standout athletes across the state.
Yeah, it would have been weird experiencing all those thunder delays from championship finals Saturday at Mount Tahoma Stadium.
Can you imagine?
which probably would have pushed the end of Star Track, probably 8 or 9 o'clock. I've been through one or two of those in my career. I did think about that, though, on Saturday when I was looking out my window and saying, wow, it would have been a kind of a long day. But, yeah, you're right. It's just we talked about this last week. It's just so weird, so surreal that it just kind of came and went. You know, these weekends kind of came and went, and it's one of our busiest weekends of the whole year, Spring Fest, and a lot of stuff going on. Like, you were at state baseball last year, you know, it had been a championships, state softball, but Star Track too. It's just a lot going on. It's a great time of year. I really like Spring Fest. You know, it's almost as busy as Winter Fest, the 2 or 3 weekends that we have that are really tough to clear. But yeah, it's hard to believe we're into graduations now and starting to peak to 2021.
Yeah. And at this point, I mean, high school learning is all online across the state. Schools, like you said, the shutdown of in-person learning and the shutdown of schools across the state goes until June 19th. And right now, I mean, high school sports haven't happened since the end of the winter season, since March. And, you know, there's just so much that's happened since. You know, we're amid a global pandemic that the country is trying to slowly inch its way out of. And now, you know, this past week, there's protests around the country in all 50 states in the wake of the murder of George Floyd at the hands of police in Minnesota and the death of several others that has really sparked something big across the country, and it's been really neat to hear just the way that certain high school athletes are using their platform here in Washington, and the way that coaches are doing so as well and taking the lead, administrators and community members. It's weird to talk about state track having that should have happened this past weekend when so much else is going on. And that feels like such a world away.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a year unlike anything I've ever seen. It's a year unlike we'll ever see again, as far as I'm concerned. It's just so much going on around the world, and you're right. It's nice to see athletes and coaches who have a platform to kind of go all in. You know, it's funny because I've discussed with friends how maybe the COVID and the protests are kind of how they're kind of working hand in hand, and the scope of it and the volume of it. But it seems like right now, and I remember LA riots, and I remember a few other things that have gone on, and it just seems like the veracity of this is just so much stronger. The commitment to it is so much stronger right now over the last week. It's nice to see, you know, coaches and athletes who do have a platform are all in on this and trying to get some movement on it.
Yeah, we hope to use our platform here at Scorebook Live Washington to amplify those voices as well. So, but as of now, you and I, in the drumbeat of covering high school sports and what we're looking forward to and what to expect within these next couple months as the state association, as districts around the state map out a return to play. Nothing has been officially announced yet. Everything is on the table for fall at this point. And June 19th is supposed to be when we'll know more about how schools will reopen in the fall. And presumably after that, you know, after the learning part, the education part has been taken care of, you know, what is this going to look like for sports, for athletics? Is it going to be, you know, online learning with school? Is school going to return in person in some facet? Is there going to be a combination of both? So expect news about the fall high school season to shortly follow after that June 19th date. Todd, one of the things that's being discussed by the WIAA is moving football into the spring. That's something that is one of many options, contingency plans that's being discussed behind the scenes right now. Football, you know, what is the likelihood of that scenario and what are the potential ramifications? I know you've been trying to answer that question here this past week and the folks that you've talked to.
Yeah, I mean, from a practical standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. The further we can get away from the COVID era or the relaunch of the COVID era, the better. Logistically, it's going to be a challenge. You know, planning a massive sport like this in a completely different season and then have to turn around, you know, assuming that we go back to normal, you know, having that same sport, you know, play out 4 or 5 months later. The interesting thing that's the one thing I kept going back to when I heard that football was being that particular option of taking football and moving it to the spring. The one thing I kept thinking about was how is this going to impact our best athletes, our best football players, our best seniors who are signed with major Division I schools. Guys like, you know, Sam Heward, Emeka Egbuka at Stellicum, you know, guys that are going to be, you know, big time recruits, 5-star recruits nationally. How is that going to impact them? And, you know, both of those young men are going to probably enroll or planning on enrolling early. So what does that do? It takes them out of the equation. It means no more Sam Heward pursuing all the significant state passing records. And how awful would that be? I mean, with the career that he's had and he doesn't get a chance to go put his name at the end of it and let alone going to win, trying to lead his school to a state championship. Kennedy's never won a state championship before. Same thing for Emeka, one of the best wide receivers to ever come out of that state. You know, he'll be wherever he commits to. But it also impacts guys like Julian Simon. You know, I'd asked him sort of casually when I was at his announcement party, his home announcement party. I said, hey, listen, if football is being moved to the spring and you're still in school, would you play? And he just kind of thought about it for a few seconds and said, nah. I just can't take the chance to get hurt. And I would assume guys that are staying in high school for its duration who are assigned to pretty big schools probably have adopted the way of thinking that Julian would. I just don't want to chance it, especially when I have to report to college campus a few months later. So, you know, I think what you're going to see is if it is moved to spring, you're going to take our top 20 or 30 seniors and you're just going to sort of, that level is going to sort of be cut out of the equation. I don't think you're going to see them play with the rare exception. You know, there might be, you know, kids that just don't want to miss out on their senior seasons and decide to play in the spring. The other question I have is how is this going to impact our top juniors? Guys that are going to be entering probably their most important recruiting stretch with 7-on-7 and team camps and other specialized camps around the country. What does that do for the top juniors? Are they going to play and then participate in all this summer stuff that really impacts their recruiting, and then they're going to go play their senior year? That's a lot of football. So it'll be interesting to see what the top juniors in the state, how they kind of proceed with that, if that's the option the WIA chooses to go with.
Yeah, it's a great point, Todd. It's the class of 2021 is the class that you and I keep hearing from coaches and folks associated with all sports, football, basketball, et cetera. Class of 2021 is the class that's being the most impacted from the recruiting standpoint by this shutdown. I mean, in basketball, you have, you know, guys that want to be seen, guys that are on the cusp of, you know, that Division I level, not having this spring AAU season, not having now if the EYBL, Nike EYBL has called off July, you know, assuming that some will follow, not having that July period. So the same thing's happening for football. So what does that mean? This is going to be a group that, you know, largely is missing that. And so, you know, next spring, if there are opportunities to, you know, kind of make up for that, will they take them? And does high school football factor into that? Granted, if this, you know, one of several scenarios plays out, which is moving football to the spring.
Yeah, you brought up the class of 2021. I mean, this is going to go down, if you look at football and basketball, one of the historic classes in state history. And if that's the option the WI goes with, like I said, to not get to see these young men play their senior years in football, if it's moved to the spring largely, I mean, high school football will go on. I get it, but to not be able to have a season and watch the true stars of high school football in our state not play, it would take something away from the season. Let's be honest. I mean, to not be able to watch Sam Heward, to not be able to watch Emeka, to not be able to watch Julian, you know, the list goes on and on and on. It would be sad. I would be sad not to be able to watch those young men finish their careers before going on to college.
You would not be alone in that thought. So more on this to come. Stay tuned to this very podcast. Stay tuned to scorebooklive.com/Washington, your home for high school sports coverage across the state. Todd, you and I are continuing to churn out our the site's top athletes out of each of the state's 39 counties project, which has been a lot of fun. That is nowhere near over. We're just getting done with the big counties. So lots more to come on that front. This very podcast feed, our colleague, our pal, Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live analyst, former NBA player and college All-American, is continuing as we bring up every week to bring it 5 days a week with his interview series. So stay tuned for that. It's not over yet. There's still a lot of great guests lined up, and Dan's just knocking it out of the park. So, but another news item out of last week, Todd, that you wrote a story about, you can find it on scorebooklive.com/Washington. And I'll be sure to include it in the show notes to this as well, if you're listening to it, wherever you're listening to it, is the WIA's new foundation game. What does this mean? And what can people expect from foundation games going forward?
Yeah, it's something that other state associations do, including the state in which you live, in Oregon. So it gives, and you know how coaches are wired, Andy. Coaches will do anything to get an extra game in their season, an extra opportunity to teach, an extra opportunity to coach, and most importantly, an extra game for their athletes to play in. And so I just, on the surface, being able to add a game to your season, most coaches warmly receive. Especially the basketball coaches who have been trying to increase their regular season max from 20 to 24 or some hybrid of that, you know, getting a tournament or for years and years and years. And it's been turned down by the rep assembly here probably over the last 6-7 years. So it does give them an extra game. Now, you know, the one part of this that people kind of go, huh, is, oh, so what you, and let me kind of explain the concept. So there's a sliding scale fee for schools to get to play an extra basketball game, volleyball game, softball game, volleyball game, soccer game. So what they do is they would pay the WIAA a fee to be able to host or hold another game. So for example, I think basketball is something close to, what is it, $250, $300. I don't have the scale in front of me. Mm-hmm. To be able to kind of host this foundation game, they would get to keep the gate and put it in their general fund. Now, yeah, this is also a way for the WIA to make a little bit of money that they've lost. And the WIA has announced this is stuff that's going to go toward their foundation expenses, kind of, you know, the Hall of Fame and some of their community outreach programs. So it's not like it's going into Mick Hoffman's salary or Cindy Atsit's, you know, expense fund. This is money that's going to be, you know, going toward outreach programs. So Mick calls it a win-win. I kind of look at it the same way. I think it's, and again, it's not required. It's an option. So if schools want to take this on and plan it and pay the fee and add another game to the schedule, I mean, would we all love to see, like I said, like I wrote on the story, wouldn't we all love to see Mount Si and Garfield play? Wouldn't we all love to see Mount Spokane girls play Ridgefield? I mean, it'd be great to have a sort of a marketed foundation blockbuster non-league game in particular sports to watch. For the fan, I think it's a win-win as well.
Sign me up. Great deal. The Centralia School District is there's a developing story there that you can read about on the site, also in the Centralia Daily Chronicle, which broke the story last week about the Centralia School District weighing the option of not having any, of cutting all athletics in the wake of a deficit, a budget deficit and a levy failure that has only been compounded by the COVID-19 pandemic. So as of right now, no decision has been made, but come July, we should be learning more as the budget for that district is finalized. On whether it will be able to support athletics. So that's something that's legitimately on the table right now, Todd, in the wake of everything that's going on. Is this something that is unique to Centralia or is it a sign of what's to come?
Yeah, and I don't think any of us wants to see this happen. Centralia's got a rich history. One of the all-time winningest boys basketball coaches hails from Centralia, Ron Brown. Nobody wants to see this happen to Centralia. You ask the question, is this a sign of something to come? I think this is sort of an isolated example for this year. And sort of piggybacked on a string of circumstances. You know, Centralia had passed a bond to renovate most, if not all of their schools and their football field. If you've been down there, it's one of the really nice renovated football stadiums in Western Washington. But what they've asked people to do after passing this bond is to also now pass the levy for other things, including, obviously the athletics, like you mentioned, a lot of that comes from this. And so, they're in a situation where, it's interesting to see what their strategy is here. The levy, obviously COVID's complicated this. They were supposed to have a relaunch of the to see this, if they could get the levy passed in April, and now it's August. Mm-hmm. I've heard the opinion that it's sort of a scare tactic to try and get people to approve this levy. It sounds like it's kind of a 50-50 right now on whether Centralia will have athletics. They don't have an interesting thing that, and when I talked to another coach about this in another district, the interesting thing is they have not explored yet the pay-to-play aspect that other districts that have had failed levies have gone to. It'll be interesting to see what cards the district play over the next few months leading up to the levy to see if they can make sure that there is an athletic season at Centralia for 2021. Now, you asked me if this is a sign of something to come.
In other pockets around the state, does this signal a greater?
Yeah, the thing that surprised me about this was that this was happening at Centralia now. Most people I talk to think that the COVID era will impact districts around the state, including athletics, in the 2 to 3 year frame, you know, from now. I've heard from other districts. I've heard there are other districts around the state that might be in a similar situation, especially with, you know, the teacher strikes and high, you know, the salary raises to teachers. I mean, you got to cut somewhere, and athletics, even though it represents 1 to 2% of a school's budget, I mean, that might surprise some people. If you think about it, the enormity of high school athletics and the impacts it has on a community, 1 to 2% it has makes up of a total budget. So, but it's something that's, you know, I'm sure other districts here down the line will grapple with, districts with similar demographics and size that that Centralia is right now.
A developing story that we're going to keep tabs on. Todd, I appreciate that breakdown, and I appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday morning as we record this in what is a really weird time, not only in our state and in each of our neighborhoods, but across the country.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, having the week off, it was it's kind of nice to get back and talking about some things. And I did hear that just through the rumor mill that our buddy Trey Knight at Ridgefield did show up at Mount Tahoma last week. There was nobody there, but he broke every significant throwing record in state history. So that's just a rumor.
But
that would be kind of cool if it happened, right?
If a Trey Knight breaks a record at an empty Tahoma Stadium, did it really happen?
Yes. Yes, it did. Because when he throws, there's a thud, people hear. So yeah. Yeah, it happens.
Love it. Love it. If you'd like to hear more of what we do once a week with this conversation podcast, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Apple Podcasts is just one of those ways. And additionally, you'll get 5 days a week an interview with an expert in the world of sports, somebody, you know, who's regionally relevant, somebody who could be nationally relevant by our Dan Dickow and his quarantine series. So stay tuned for more. We'll be back next week to talk about what's next, what's developed. But for Scorebook Live Washington, I'm Andy Bueller, and he's Todd Millis. Thanks for listening.